A lot of people want to talk about what happened in the soccer game last night. World Cup action, United States winners over Bosnia and Herzegovina. 2-0, or as they say in the world of soccer or football, 2-0. It was 2-0. But I was actually entertained. Someone who's not a soccer fan, I was entertained by it. I particularly liked the second half was intriguing because you had the red card, which put the United States down a man. So they're literally playing shorthanded for a long stretch of time. The goal that Malik Tillman, didn't even have to consult my notes there, Kang. Malik Tillman scored on the free kick was spectacular. Just the whole thing of being able to control a kick like that when you've got a wall of humanity in front of you and you kick the ball 6 inches above their heads, their collective heads, have spin on it, have it going right to left, and, you know, in such a manner that the goalie can't handle it, goes off his fingertips and ricochets into the net. It's great. And when you watch these, another soccer term, the pitch, when you watch the fields that they're playing on, they're meticulous in how, you know, how tight they keep that grass. So it's almost, it looks like an artificial surface, even though it's grass, and, you know, the ball just skips all over it. It's not like playing on a normal, you know, grass soccer field. This is different. And it's the speed really shows up. It was impressive. I enjoyed it last night. Not to the point where I'm going to become a soccer fan, but I...
Yeah, hold your horses, right?
Yeah, let's slow down. Slow down. But to the point where I'll look forward to the next World Cup.
All right. All right. That's good. That's not bad.
Yeah.
Can I get 4 years from now?
Can I get you to commit to Monday?
Oh, what time's the game?
I think it's an afternoon game.
What time's the pitch?
At the double... No, they play on the pitch.
Because I'm going to be in the West Coast time, so I just want to...
Oh, is it Vegas time?
Yeah, it's Vegas time.
Oh, you in a sports book?
Yeah,
I
should go to the book, you're right, and see how that goes.
Yeah, that would be fun. Yeah, I don't know if they set a time for it yet. I thought I heard someone would be like in the afternoon, but we'll have to double check.
8 p.m.
8 p.m.? Oh, it's 8 p.m. That's not in the afternoon.
Okay, so that's 5 that's p.m. for me, where I'll be at. I can make it happen.
You could make that happen. There you go.
See what's on the agenda, man.
Not going to hold you to it.
Hey, don't. Don't.
No. Don't. You'll be sadly disappointed if you do. Jason is next up here at 97.1. Hey, Jason.
Hey, Gator. Gator, where do I start, man? It's so, you know, I don't want to speak for the soccer elite, and I just want to say a couple things. I love your show. I love when you guys talk about, you know, traditional Big Four sports and you have knowledge base and whatnot, but one of the things when the World Cup comes around, when it's World Cup time for soccer fans, and soccer is the third most popular sport now in America. Fans identify behind football and basketball, above baseball and hockey. So when you listen to traditional sports radio and you're a soccer fan and the World Cup comes around and you guys start talking about it like it's underwater basket weaving or it's some fringe thing or, you know, and I get you don't understand it or whatnot, but man, it's like if you take your wife to a baseball game and she's asking all kinds of weird questions about, well, why do they hold the glove on that hand or why do they, it kind of makes me mental with traditional sports radio in America. And you guys really at this point, you need to have someone on staff,
Let me ask you this. Have we been that bad about it? I mean, I can understand
Jader,
I can understand being soccer elite on this, all right? I don't have a problem, but I admit it, right? I'm not the biggest fan in the world. I played the game when I was younger. I have a basic understanding of the rules. But what is it that we've said so far today that has you compelled the call in to the point where like you've almost lost it with us?
Well, I mean, it's just the way you talk about it. I mean, you wouldn't talk about, you know, football or basketball with the same, you know, like, well, you know, why do they stop outside of that arc and shoot the three pointer? Why don't they just throw it under the basket?
Again, what have we said? I don't have a problem with you being upset, but what was it that I said that upset you?
Well, you know, I mean, just not understand. So the flopping thing, and look at, there is, I'm not going to deny some of that goes on, but they're trying to draw fouls, like to get a competitive, and you see that in any sport, like basketball or whatnot, you know, where they're now, and also I will say that people sometimes underestimate in terms of, have you ever been kicked in the shin, you know, really hard? I mean, you know, it'll bring you to your knees. You know, now I'm not saying like, you know, there's hockey guys
when it happens, I totally get it.
Like,
yeah, when that happens.
You know, so, but, But, like, you know, just not understanding, you know, the fouls, or, again, like the offsides, you know, the offsides, it's just like in hockey, you know, it's designed to prevent competitive. And they do, you know, they've tried to adjust a little bit. But, you know, there is, if you're a little bit body part of in front of the line when the ball is kicked, it is offsides. But it's just like some of those elements, or when you're talking about, you know, the pace of the game, right? Well, come on, baseball, is that got a great pace of the game? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know. Mean, I hear you, but I feel like you're projecting all that on me in Jason. Our show, and I don't think I've said any of these things.
Not on you. I mean, it's just that traditional sports radio in America, when you're listening to, like, your 97 ones or that type of thing, you know, it's always talked about like it's some fringe sport or that.
Yeah, it's
like
not a, no, but
there's
but
not
understand
many
this.
People interested right. in it. When the youth in America, man, it's like the number one, generationally, yeah. Like I understand you're like, what, 50 or in your, like, so I get, but generationally, you're talking to a lot of 20-somethings and whatnot who are going to be like, what are these guys?
No, I hear you. I hear you. At some point, and everybody went through this, and same, thanks for the call, Jason. I appreciate it. I really do. I don't mind you calling it out, but I just, kind of weird because I didn't think we did any of that. But when I was a kid, the same thing happened. Like, we had the North American Soccer League came around. We had the Detroit Express. We're playing in the Silverdome. We had one of the most exciting players in the world in Trevor Francis. And soccer was booming in the late 70s. Every kid played soccer, yours truly included. I played soccer from the time I could play, was first grade. And I played through seventh grade. And then when it got to seventh grade, you had to make a decision. Do I want to play soccer or do I want to play football? And there were still plenty of kids that went on and played soccer. And soccer was always a youth sport. And it has slowly gotten bigger and bigger. And I'll grant right now it's experiencing a boom. And it will, as long as, and there is, I think, a direct correlation to how good the national team is to how popular the sport's going to be. And the sport is gaining in popularity for sure. And yes, we all recognize internationally it's a sensation. Here in this country, not so much. It's behind the Big Four. But right now it's experiencing a popularity boom. Because it's being played here in this country. Because
we're talking about, like, exactly at this moment.
Yeah, exactly, like, at this moment. It's going nuts right now because the World Cup is here. You get to see the passion from the fans around the world actually coming here to the States. We've done shows about, you know, the Scots taking over the bars in Boston and drinking them out of beer. You know, the Norwegian fans have been unbelievable. You've got the...
But those are foreign fans. They're not American
fans. No, I know, but my point is that because they're all coming here, it brings up more
attention to it. I get that. But I'll say this. I probably, Jason, didn't like the fact that you asked, why aren't they using their hands? That probably pissed him off.
I didn't say
that. I know, I'm kidding. It sounded like he was... Like,
I didn't say any of the things. I literally didn't say any of the things he said.
But I will say this. I know he loves his sport. I don't think he did any favors trying to help his sport with that call. Like, I don't know if he realizes that or not, but I think he actually turned more people off. You know, right, like that were maybe fringe. Like, hey,
yeah. I think people that don't care for soccer, if you ask them, do you know that soccer is the most popular sport outside the United States? And they'll say, yeah. We know. And, right? Okay, it is, without question. And it'll gain in popularity. I hope it does gain in popularity here. I hope that that MLS becomes a sensation here in the States. And that one day Detroit has a franchise that's, you know, going to pack 50,000 people in a stadium to watch. That'd be great. But I think we're a ways away from that. And we've been led down this road before. But I do think that there's more young people playing soccer than ever before. I don't have the numbers to back that up, but it's just a gut feeling.
No,
that it's like that because knowing friends of mine that have kids and they're all still playing soccer. The girls' soccer has absolutely exploded.
Listen, I have two. Well,
that's
young
probably
children.
More popular than men's soccer.
I have two young children, and that's. I mean, you factually and statistically, they may be correct, but also you bring into the fact that the business end of youth sports.
Well, that's the
soccer.
Yeah,
you know what I'm talking about? Travel, AU. I mean, I'm not saying that's the only reason, but you can't ignore that. That maybe more people are into soccer because
they've got a financial commitment.
Yeah, exactly.
My kid's not just playing the rec league. Now I actually got to pay, you know,
yes,
$6,000 for the kid to play. I got to go to this tournament out in, you know, East Milwaukee dude, next week.
And this ain't pro bono, man. Somebody's making money off of this. Absolutely.
That's why they're building that soccer,
talking about it.
Downriver or whatever. Yeah.
I mean, this is someone, there's, you know, people are getting paid. It's a business. You know, they're not doing it. You know, there's profit involved.
Absolutely. There's profit involved. Nonetheless, thanks for the call, Jason. Appreciate it. And I did ask for it. I wanted to hear from the soccer elite and what are their thoughts of what's going on right now. And it sounded like he wasn't thrilled of the parachuting in of the sport, which if you want the sport to grow, you're going to have to appreciate the parachuting in and have to cultivate that and try to help those fans along to really respect the game. Maybe trying to defend the flopping, that's not going to work out too well. It's everybody can understand if there's a collision involved and players go down, if somebody goes down and they're legitimately hurt and you see the replay like, oh, and there were times last night when, oh yeah, that's going to hurt. I understand why he's down. Those are fine. It's the ones where somebody, you know, barely brushes up against somebody and they're grabbing their knee like it just got shot off on the Zapruder film. That's the problem that people have with the flopping. And it's the same problem, by the way, that people have in the NBA. How many shows did we do about the foul baiting that goes on with James Harden and Shea Gilgeous-Alexander and others and Jalen Brunson? All the foul baiting that goes on, the flopping that happens in the NBA. We can't stand it. We call out in all the sports. You feign an injury. It happens in hockey, too. Guy, a stick comes up on a player, gets up to his shoulder, but he'll grab his face like he just got, you know, his eye gouged out. And that's not the case. We call it out.
Yeah, when a quarterback gets barely touched and he flies to the ground and looking for a flag and then he holds his head, you know, like, yeah, we don't like it in general, the over embellishment. Yeah. And I get why it's there because they're trying to get an advantage for their team.
Exactly. The pushing and shoving after a play in football. And then a player recognizes there's an official by and he gets touched and he goes flying.
Like he's like off a launching pad.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Like Brock Lesnar just, you know, threw him off of the ring. Yeah, that's a little much. And we call it out. In the meantime, last night, a lot of fun. And I'm looking forward and I'm actually happy now that the game's at 8 o'clock on Monday. I thought it was good. That Doug had talked about this being an afternoon game. Thankfully, it's not. That's great. 248-539-9797. This is 97.1. Just saw something online that's pretty cool. And not a bad thing to do this weekend and perhaps today when you get home. With the announcement that former NFL running back Chris Johnson has been diagnosed with ALS, which sucks, absolutely sucks. I know a couple people that have been afflicted with this, and it's brutal, right? It's a death sentence at some point, and it's awful. Remember years ago, we had the ice bucket challenge, and that was to benefit ALS, and people would do, you know, dump a bucket of ice on you, ice and water, and you try to raise money that way, and then challenge other people to do it, and they would donate money, and they would film themselves doing it. I did one at the time. It was a lot of fun. Then I added to it by slamming a beer and doing a shot of tequila or something like that. We had a lot of fun with it and raised some money with it. I just saw that now, because of the announcement that Chris Johnson is ALS, there's a video of Marshawn Lynch doing the ice bucket challenge. And realizing that it's like 100 degrees outside, maybe not the worst thing in the world to do, to go out and do the ice bucket challenge today or tomorrow or while these days are hot. It does two things. Cools you down. And also, well, three things. You raise awareness for ALS. And more importantly, if you put your money where your mouth is, you can make a donation as well for research for ALS. So I think it's a cool thing to see. And Marshawn Lynch did this like a boss, which he is, beast mode. Just watching it again, where it's a bucket of that looks cold, but on a day where it's 100, yes, go for it. That should be good for you. Mentioned we get in some Pistons talk and some Red Wing talk, Tiger talk as well. Real quickly, Kang, because we're going to do this throughout the show. We will be talking about all the major food groups, and soccer is included in the food groups. Got a lot of people still lined up, want to talk about the World Cup and the controversy, and is this the best team USA has put out there? But I did want to get to the Pistons a little bit here, because this is I heard some growing concern from people as we're 24 hours into the free agent period, and Jalen Duren has not been signed to an offer sheet by another team. So there has not been any thought of a sign and trade. That it looks like Jalen Duren, his market has kind of dried up now with other centers going to other teams. And, you know, we welcome him back here with the Pistons, which I think all along was the plan that the Pistons had. They were going to match any offer anyway. But Collins was really the only major signing they had. There's a report that Marcus Sasser has been traded to Dallas, and this could all be part of some wild sign and trade thing that goes on, be announced next week. But your thoughts on where the Pistons are right now, what still has to be done, and maybe what could be done.
So I'm on a bit of a roller coaster with how I feel about Langdon and the Pistons. At the end of the season, when Langdon had his press conference, the idea I was getting from that, the feeling I was getting from that presser was that Langdon was kind of going to bring back the most of the same guys and try to add here or there on the margins. That's what it seemed like to me, right? Yep. That's the way I read it. I don't think Doug read it that way, but that's the way I read it. And then we head into the offseason, and then he starts creating these flexible cap moves, you know, moving on from Stewart, and then the Isaiah Joe things happen, and then, you know, the draft happens. And I'm thinking, okay, maybe he's setting himself up. And then all the rumors come out.
The Austin Reeves.
The Reeves, the Trey Murphy, the Kawhi, the Kyrie, right?
LeBron.
Yeah, Jaylen Brown, all this stuff, right? So I'm like, oh. And he did do all these moves to create extra cap flexibility. So I'm thinking, Trajan does have a plan that's bigger than what I thought. And even after the draft, he mentioned again, they need playmaking. They need someone to create shots. I'm thinking, okay, he knows that Cade Cunningham needs some more help. And then we go through the next couple days, and the biggest signing, like you said, is Collins. And they move on from Harris. I think this current roster, and I'm including Jalen Duren on this roster because he hasn't gone anywhere yet. Pistons still own his rights. I think overall, talent-wise, Gator, they are a better team than they were at the end of last season. Are they good enough to win the championship? No, they are not. So I'm still not calling it over because the offseason isn't over yet. But as of right now, I do approve of what he's done, but I also feel this can't be the end result. You know, I feel like there's still need to get that true secondary scorer who can create his own shot, who can you can count on a bucket without Cade Cunningham on the court. And they haven't done that yet. Because but I'm not going to crap on the offseason so far like some people are, because I do think they are better. Sometimes you find your superstar, and the Pistons are lucky they have one in Cade Cunningham, and then you try to alleviate some of that pressure by getting him a better supporting cast, and I think he's done that. I think that Isaiah Joe and Collins are better than what they had last year. I just don't think it's enough if you want to get to the next level, and so I'm waiting to see, is there a next move? Is there another bigger move? Is Trey Murphy still on the table?
Yeah, I'm kind of on board with you on this. I feel like they're probably a better team right now than what they were when they finished the season. But the landscape of the Eastern Conference has gotten better, and the Pistons didn't get appreciably better to put themselves in that conversation anymore, at least in my mind right now. I think there's still something else that's coming, that's brewing. I have to believe that, because I think all along they were talking about the triumvirate of players, their core group with Duren, Thompson, and of course Cade, and knowing that was going to be the case, and they still were going to go after Austin Reeves. Okay, well, that other move hasn't happened yet, right? I don't think that's made up in the aggregate of signing Isaiah Joe and Collins. I don't think that that's the case. I think there has to be something more to it than that. That remains to be seen. And the concern I have right now is that, A, you're not good enough to compete with the other teams that are in the elite in the Eastern Conference, I don't think right now. But the bigger concern I have is you've changed the identity of this team, I think, and maybe significantly. and going from one identity to perhaps another. And this is just a personal thing for me because I liked that they were the tough team on the block. I liked that they were doing things the unconventional way, that they weren't just jacking up threes to jack up threes because that's what analytics tell you. I liked that aspect of the Pistons. They were different. They're changing from that. And it's just a personal thing where I'm going to have difficulty adjusting to the new look Pistons. I'll probably end up loving it because Isaiah Joe can flat out shoot. And it looks like they now have several shooting options on this team. Not necessarily the number two guy, but they've got guys that
they can knock down
shots behind. Yeah. Yes, exactly.
More floor spacing. And I understand you're concerned with the identity of the team. I still think the identity is defense. Now, they just might not foul as much and be as rough because they don't have to. I kept saying it last year. I know they won 60 games and they were the number one seed in the regular season. But when I looked at that roster, I was like, that is not a playoff roster. They're really going to have to need more talent if they want to be considered one of the elites in the East. And guess what? With that roster, which I think wasn't very good, by the way, they still were one game away from the Eastern Conference Finals. Now, you upgrade even marginally, like I think they have, you should theoretically maybe get into the Eastern Conference Finals now. Now, I do understand that other teams in the East did get better. Toronto with Kawhi is scary. I think Jaylen Brown with the Sixers make the Sixers better.
They're going to be tough, yeah.
But I think that made the Celtics worse. Either way.
I agree with that.
Halliburton's back, and then you have to deal with the Knicks, too, and I get it. Orlando Magic, if they're healthy, I think they're a threat as well. So I think things get a little murky with the East.
You haven't even mentioned Cleveland.
Exactly, right? And they could get LeBron. So, yeah, I think the competition does get a little more tougher in the East, but I do think the Pistons got better, and I think they went pretty far with a really not the best talented roster last year. That's why it's really important, though, they get that next guy.
Yeah.
You know?
I think they need to separate themselves and absolutely get the next. Go do everything you can to get Trey Murphy or whatever that player is. You've got to find that player. The Eastern Conference is packed with good teams. I don't know if they're great teams, but they're good teams. And we haven't even mentioned Miami and Atlanta that are going to be better teams. You know, Miami now that they got Giannis out there.
Yeah,
I didn't even
mention those two. Yeah,
yeah. Right. So that's a lot of teams we've mentioned there. That might be eight teams we already mentioned that are going to be competing for the East. And oh, by the way, the defending NBA champs, the Knicks, are another team we haven't even talked about. So the landscape of the conference is a lot tougher, and we knew it was going to be tougher. But now that we've seen some moves made, like it was just going to be tougher by other teams getting healthy. But now that moves have been made to bring Giannis to Miami, to take Jaylen Brown going from Boston over to Philadelphia, that's interesting. All these moves and the LeBron situation, if he ends up going to Cleveland, and I guess now he's the Kelce favorite to go to Cleveland, if that ends up happening, I mean, that makes Cleveland really tough. So, yeah, the Pistons have to make another move. I'm not killing them yet. And I don't think I'll kill them anyway. It's just, okay, you're doing a slow and steady approach, which is, it's fine to get from 14 to 44 to 60. And if you've set your goals up that we got to get past the second round, which is what he has said, what Trajan Langdon said, that rubs people the wrong way. Anyway, people want, why they want the big leap? Well, the big leap was this year, but they want the bigger leap. They want you to go for it. Everybody wants every team in town to go for it, make the big move. And they haven't made the big move yet to go for it.
No, and I know you don't get a trophy for trying, right. But I do feel like the fact that they've been involved in so many rumors of bigger players, that does tell me at least he sees the need. You know, he sees the hole and he's trying to do something about it. Now, where I'll get really upset is if Trey Murphy does get moved and it's not to Detroit, then I'm like, man.
Yeah, that
means
be...
he was really available. You just need to go and press the issue. I want Trey Murphy as a Piston. That feels like the move that they can make.
If he gets moved elsewhere, it feels like a missed opportunity.
Yeah.
248-539-9797. This is 97.1. So we're 24 hours into the free agent period in both the NBA and the NHL. Both the Red Wings and Pistons have made some moves. And they're both interesting. Both teams have made moves that are sort of changing their identity a little bit. We'll get into the Red Wings later on. But they made a couple of pretty good additions. I like to this team, but I'm not sure if I necessarily love them, I like them. But it feels like they've got so much more to do. And the Pistons, on the other hand, we're talking about the team that was the number one seed in the Eastern Conference, and they've made some moves that I don't think are necessary. I think it's a little bit better than along the margins, but it also looked like they cleared out space to add something big, and they haven't done it yet. You know, whether they swung and missed on Kawhi Leonard, did they get involved in the Jaylen Brown sweepstakes and did not have enough to offer? My guess is, you know, that's difficult to do. If you have to give up a player in there, if Boston just wanted to get draft picks, then you could have made something happen, but I don't think that was the case. You know, there's lots to be talked about with what the Pistons have or haven't done. Earlier this morning on ESPN, Brian Windhorst, their NBA insider, was talking with Kendrick Perkins, former player and current analyst over there, about the direction of the Pistons and where things kind of stand with Trajan Langdon and adding to this team 24 hours in. So that's Brian Windhorst, and I think it's interesting because Brian Windhorst started all this mess last week, right around this time. In fact, it was, because we did Thursday's show last week from Shannon Creek, and the whole show was about his comments that I think a lot of people on Twitter took out of context and said that the Pistons are going to be in on, you know, whether it was Kawhi Leonard or LeBron James or Jaylen Brown, led us all to think, well, they're in on it. That's not what he said. What he said is that now that they've got an opportunity to perhaps go after a guy like that. I think he got some blowback on that. Now he's pissed because, wait a minute, I set this up and they haven't done that. And he even got called out by some of the co-hosts on the show there. It's interesting. We have Kendrick Perkins talking as well. So Kendrick Perkins offered up his opinion on where the Pistons are at. So you hear what he has to say. You heard what Windhorst had to say. Windhorst doesn't think that they've done enough. He thinks it's a little bit of a disaster here. Kendrick Perkins seems to think more along the lines, I guess, of you, Kang, and that.
Well, to be honest with you, I think I agree with both of them.
Yeah, I know. You're still waiting for more, but at least you right now, as they're constructed, you think this team is better than what they were last year, which is what Kendrick Perkins is saying, although you're not saying it as emphatically as Kendrick Perkins is. And I kind of agree with both of the guys, too. I mean, the first thing I was thinking of, you know, when Kendrick Perkins says that they're replacing Isaiah Stewart with John Collins, I'm like, no, they're replacing Tobias Harris with John Collins. They're replacing Isaiah Stewart with Isaiah Joe, perhaps, at least player for player.
They're different players. Paul Reed's going to get the minutes.
Paul Reed gets the minutes, so that's probably more appropriate. And that's where you're looking at. But, yeah, I'm with – and we asked the question, 248-539-9797, is which side are you on right now? You kind of like on the Windhorst side, it says this is they haven't done enough at this point. Or are you on the Kendrick Perkins side that says, wait a minute, I actually like what they've done. They're changing the identity a little bit. They're becoming more versatile as a team, a better shooting team, and you like the direction where they're at. I'm waiting for more. And maybe that's that's probably the safe place to go for any fan is you want more. You want to see them do more. And when you see teams like the 76ers go out and swing the trade for Jaylen Brown, you're like, wow, that player was available and they got him. It's in the division. It's to a rival. You know, he just went from Boston to Philadelphia. We're seeing signings where players are going from New York to Boston. We're seeing all this movement in the Eastern Conference. It's all within the Eastern Conference. Giannis stays in conference and goes from Milwaukee to Miami. And there's opportunities there, and the Pistons missed out on Kawhi. Kawhi now comes into the Eastern Conference, goes back where he started at Toronto, and what's left? And the one thing I would caution is okay, maybe there's not that free agent move. There's LeBron, but I'm not holding my breath that LeBron's going to sign with the Pistons. It's a trade, and it doesn't have to be just the names we're hearing. We've heard that Trey Murphy could be on the trading block. Oftentimes, a trade happens, and you're like, whoa, I didn't know that guy was, because you don't hear about it. So when people say the trade market's dried up, well, no, the trade market that maybe we've heard about is dried up. It doesn't mean the trade market's dried up. We don't know who's available, who's not available.
You're thinking maybe there's something we don't even know about yet. Yeah. Odds are it's just, you know, something plain, but maybe there is something really cool that we haven't heard. Yes. And
maybe Lauri Markkanen is available. I don't know. You know, but something like that. Okay, but like you, I'm holding out. I want that other move, though. I don't think they've done enough. I think, yes, they might be slightly better, but it's going to look like a different team out there. And part of the slightly better is, you know, the crossing the fingers and hoping the guys are going to get better year to year. I think some of those are good bets, and I think others are like, I don't know. Do I think Cade can get better? Yeah, I think Cade can improve on things and become a more complete player. But I don't know if you're going to see an increase in points or assists necessarily. But maybe it's a decrease in turnovers, which helps. Maybe it's an increase in his three-point percentage, which helps. I do think Jalen Duren, when he is re-signed, is going to be that's a player to watch. But I think he's got a lot more meat left on the bone to mature as a player. I think the same thing with Ausar Thompson. But I think other players might regress. Guys come off the bench. Is Caris LeVert going to take a step back? Is Duncan Robinson going to take a step back? I don't know. You know, you can't expect everybody to improve doesn't even have to be leaps and bounds. It has to be steps.
Well, I think that how Cade gets better is not just himself getting better, but he gets better when the supporting cast is better. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's how you help Cade get better. And as far as the other guys, they're definitely expecting Ausar Thompson to take some kind of leap forward offensively. It may not be him knocking down threes all of a sudden, but he's got to find better offensive game around the rim in the paint. He's got to develop maybe some kind of floater or just at least a 10-foot, you know, jumper. B-Ball Paul is more offensively gifted probably than Beef Stew. Beef Stew, his big pro on him and his big benefit was elite rim defender. You know, he could body you. I mean, he would use his force and he brought toughness. Right now, they're going, and Tobias, he brought this veteran leadership. He was your number two scorer in the playoffs, and you're not going to get far if, with all due respect to Tobias Harris, as your number two scorer in the playoffs. And so they think that getting John Collins, who has a more offensive skill set, more athletic, that they got better there.
But he may not be better.
He may not. I mean, it may be marginal, too. And I think they want it to be a little bit more than marginal. So, and as far as Duren, he just has to get better in the playoffs. Full stop, end of story. Like, he cannot come into the playoffs and average 10-8. That's not what a third-team All-NBA player is supposed to be doing.
Absolutely not. Nick is in Flint. Welcome to 97.1. Hey, Nick.
Hey, guys. Appreciate you taking my call this morning.
Sure, thank you.
You know, I'm kind of leaning toward I want to see more with the Pistons. You know, we had a good run this year, 60 wins. That's awesome. It looks like Duren's market's dried up, you know, except for Sacramento. So if he wants to go there and light the beam, that's one thing. But Lakers are out now with Walker Kessler. You know, I don't hate the John Collins signing. It was sad to see Tobias go. You know, his second stint here was good, and I liked that. You hear rumors about Rui Hachimura that's still out there, at least as of last night. But the big ones, you know, Trey Murphy. You know, the Pelicans have been, you know, fielding offers and having discussions on that. And I think one of the things that concerns me is that Jaylen Brown trade from last night. Boston got back some draft picks. Correct me if they're swaps, but they added more draft picks to their collection where, you know, they could go dangle those to New Orleans, and then all of a sudden Trey Murphy's in Boston instead of Detroit. Therefore, the East just gets stronger around us. So it's concerning on my side.
Yeah, and thanks for the call. I appreciate it. I think we're all waiting to see what the next move is. If Kendrick Perkins is really of the belief that they're done, good, they look better, I guess I'm left underwhelmed. You know, they may be slightly better. It looks like they're changing what this team is really going to be about. They're going to be a better shooting team, and hopefully that results in better play. I've said before, this team's not going to win 60 games this year. I don't expect them to win 60 games in the upcoming season because I think the landscape of the Eastern Conference is just too damn tough. They need to make the playoffs, and they should make the playoffs. Once they're in, every series is going to be a dogfight, as we just talked about. Every team looks like they've gotten better in the Eastern Conference. Every team looks like they've gotten deeper in the Eastern Conference. And right now, the Pistons need to add more to the front court. And when I say front court, I mean more to the starting rotation. They need another piece. They need the number two guy. I thought the number two guy was going to be Jalen Duren, but after watching him in the playoffs, that clearly wasn't the case. He was during the season, but they need somebody who's going to be that way throughout. 248-539-9797. This is 97.1. Welcome back to the Carson Anderson program here on 97.1. Doug will be back on Monday's program. Kang and Bobby behind the glass. Gator taking your calls. 248-539-9797. Same number to text as well. And we'll go to Steven in Detroit. Steven, welcome to 97.1.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Good show. So I think it's pretty straightforward, and we're probably going to all talk in circles until we see what ultimately happens. But at the end of the day, if they don't make a move here, and I'm assuming it's going to be, you know, it's got to be a shooter, clearly, and we're probably going to re-sign Duren, and it's going to be what I hope to be Trey Murphy. I don't know how we're not going to demand that Langdon's job is called for, because at the end of the day, as it sits right now, and let's assume Duren comes back, all things being equal, we're probably 5 to 10% better on the margins as it stands. And Indiana's going to be back and healthy this year. Boston will be healthy. We'll see what LeBron does if he goes back to Cleveland. Miami's a better team now. So if we struggled against Orlando and we struggled against Cleveland in the playoffs last year, all things considered, how could anyone call this offseason a success if there's no major move made in this offseason? You know, some people are calling in and saying they hope that it happens. I take the approach, and I know I'm more aggressive and I'm more type A whenever I call into the show. But just from my perspective, we've got to be demanding more from this team and from management. And if it doesn't happen, could you just imagine that Langdon press conference, him talking about we tried, the options were there, but it was too expensive. It would be so unfortunate if we do not go and get better based on what we have potentially in front of us right now with a young lineup that could really do something over the next couple of years.
Yeah, and I guess, and I understand what you're saying, and it's very measured, and I appreciate that. And I'm thinking about, okay, if there's a press conference that happens after all the dust clears and it's just they just brought back Jalen Duren and the players they acquired, that's what they got going here. And they don't add a Trey Murphy or something like that. If he mentions that, yeah, somebody says, well, you're not Jalen Duren. Yeah. Or Jalen Brown. Yes. We talked to Boston, but Boston wanted more than just a package of draft picks and we didn't have the players that they wanted. Were you in on Kawhi Leonard? Well, we kicked the tires on Kawhi, but it was clear that Kawhi didn't want to play here. He wanted to play in Toronto. He wanted to go back where he had started. Okay. Then that's out. You know what I mean? Like if there's obvious explanations or, hey, were you in on so-and-so? Yeah, we were, but they wanted Asar Thompson, and that was almost a non-starter for us because it was Asar Thompson and 3 first-round picks or whatever the case is. I think there's explaining out of it, but I get to this point. If this is all it is, it's a disappointing offseason. I will absolutely agree with that. And then you close the book on the offseason, then you get to the regular season, and then the next big step is trade deadline again next year. And maybe it's just clearing up space that you have going into it, and that you can be a player at the trade deadline. But then if it's a bad offseason, if this is all we see in the offseason and you get to a trade deadline and there's no moves made at the trade deadline, then it's like, okay, both opportunities there came and went by the wayside.
So I'm glad you brought up the trade deadline. So no matter what happens this offseason and they go into the 26-27 season with a roster, that might not be the final roster when the season's all said and done. The trade deadline is a big part where, let's say Trey Murphy doesn't get moved this summer, he could get moved during the season if the Pelicans are terrible and they're finally like, all right, that's enough of enough is enough. We got to get assets back and we'll want to move Murphy, and Langdon gets Murphy. That's one option, okay? But before we get to that point, I would address, like, if this is a team that's going to start the year, including Durant coming back, I would be disappointed that they didn't get that true viable second scoring option, but I wouldn't be demanding for, like, I don't know what he said, demanding for answers, demanding his job. I don't want Trajan Langdon fired. That's a bit of an overreaction for a guy who took over a team that won 14 games.
No, there's another piece yet to fall for, and like, that's why I brought up the
no, but
the
I thought the caller, he was like, you know, he even said he's admittedly aggressive. Yeah. Like, what did he said? Demanding what? Like, his job? Do you want Trajan Langdon fired if they don't get anybody else? I don't.
Yeah, I don't either.
That's crazy.
But it would be a nothing else happens, it'd be a disappointing offseason that they didn't add the number two that we all thought, okay, let's add the number two. Even though what he said after the season was, we're going to add shooters and ball handlers. And they've added shooters for sure, and perhaps ball handlers to a degree.
And I don't listen, I don't usually play this card, but you can't force a trade. Like, if another team wants too much or doesn't want to trade somebody, there's nothing you could do about it. It sounds, all signs pointing to, they really were going after Austin Reeves. And then the Lakers got put in a spot where they probably paid Austin Reeves more than they wanted to. They said, screw it, we're just going to, you know, max him out. We're not letting him hit the market because Detroit's going to go after him. If that was plan A, what's plan B, C, and D, right? Like, is it Tyler Hero? I don't know. Because we focus on Trey Murphy, but it could just be Tyler Hero.
It could be Tyler Hero, and it would make this team better. I'd still be a little bit underwhelmed, but I'd think that they would definitely be a better team than what we saw.
Listen, he can't play defense that well, but he brings ball handling and shot-making ability.
Then that's an improvement. Chuck is in Canton. Chuck, welcome to 97.1. Hey, Chuck.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I was good. I was going to talk about the USA soccer game last night.
Go ahead.
So I'm a soccer referee, asked me, and I think it should have been yellow. That was 100% a foul, but it should have been a yellow.
Yeah, why do you think they gave him the red card in that?
All right, so especially with the VAR, they love to go by the book. What does the book say? If it was a dangerous play, and how dangerous was it, then it's an automatic red.
So, I mean, I guess when you watch that play again, you see Balogun, the first thing that happens in the sequence is that he kicks the calf of the player, and then the foot just kind of comes down to rest on the ankle / side of the foot of the player as he's going down. Is the strike of the calf, is that enough to say that's a dangerous play, let alone the rest of it?
Because the ball wasn't in the area where the feet were, and he wasn't really going for the ball. He was just in the path of the Bosnian player, was just in the path of our player. And our player wasn't paying attention to it.
And what about, I was reading comments from the former player Henry, Thierry Henry, who said that, says, where is the player supposed to put his foot there in that situation? Like, that there has to be some common sense and used is what he said. Have some common sense. What's he supposed to do?
And then at that point, with the VAR, there is no common sense. They do it what it's the book. That's why the refs didn't give him a red card and or a yellow card at the exact moment.
Yeah.
Because that's where the human aspect is.
All right. Thanks for
me,
and so you would have given him a yellow card, not a red card.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much for the call, Chuck. I appreciate it. 248-539-9797. Lots of people want to talk Pistons. Still want to talk World Cup. We can do that. We've got some Red Wing stuff we want to get to. Will Birchfield did an interesting article on 97.1.com. You can check that out. We're going to get to that a little bit. And oh, by the way, all the Tigers did was sweep the Yankees in New York. That's pretty great. All that and more coming up next year, 97.1.